This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, good Wednesday. We reached a midweek point, and guess what? The playoffs are right around the corner. But we've got a problem, because Cleveland may be without their head coach. So what does the NFL do? Like, is a global pandemic with a virus different than, let's say, a stomach flu that may go around a team as they prepare for the postseason? Right? Well, it's a contagious virus. We were all kind of in on it together. But the NFL says no. That if you lose your head coach to COVID, you lose your head coach to COVID. We'll discuss the ramifications of this from not only the league perspective, but the Cleveland Browns as they get ready for the Steelers on Sunday with somebody else on the sidelines calling some shots. Fancy can't even do it by Zoom. The Heisman Trophy was won by a wide receiver. It's a breath of fresh air for a lot of us who have seen just quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback win this award, except for Derrick Henry a few years ago. But Devontae Smith takes home the Heisman. Right choice, wrong choice, doesn't matter. He's got it. And the wide receiver, that first time is since 1991 that a wide receiver has taken the Heisman. Also, John Elway demotes himself, if you want to call it that. We'll get to that because he's no longer going to be the general manager. And Houston got its general manager as they have plucked a New England Patriots executive, a guy that they wanted to begin with. Well, I've got that coming up on the show today. We're going to start, though, with the postseason as the Cleveland Browns' Kevin Stefanski has got COVID-19 and will not be able to be on the sidelines for this really important game for the franchise. They have not made the playoffs since 2002. They're playing the Steelers for the third time. They lost to the Steelers the last time they were in the playoffs, and now they're losing their head coach. And you got an issue with the team that is dealing with COVID, is where, who else may be getting it and where is it coming from, and all those things like that as they prepare for a playoff game. We saw this against the Jets where they lost wide receivers and they ended up losing the game. They were doing like walkthroughs in a parking garage. But the NFL has made its statement that says, no, only not medical. We will postpone it if the spread of the virus is an imminent factor in the game. But as far as competitive deficiencies, you're on your own. Is that fair in a time where we're all dealing with the global pandemic? That's coming up as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, everybody's temperature varies throughout the day, so it's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever, a sign of COVID-19. Stay safe with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. All right, so the Cleveland Browns will be without head coach Kevin Stefanski. He's got COVID-19. He can't even, like, zoom it in from his house, like the plays he wants to call or the moves he wants to make. Why can't they roll out that technology?
Do you remember how awesome it was when we were in school and they brought in the cart?
Yeah. It's like, whoa, we're going to be watching
we're
something.
We're going to be watching something. Why can't they roll that out?
Right. I don't understand. So this is going to raise the debate now, because the Browns are going to be shorthanded technically. A couple of other players have gotten COVID and whatnot. So the scenario is this: should the NFL delay this game so that Kevin Stefanski could be on the sideline? It is the playoffs after all. And the NFL has said no, because the NFL has trying to be consistent all year by saying, look, if the outbreak that occurs within your team is not contained enough so that we feel like a game can be played safely, then we'll postpone the game. That's how the Ravens got a number of games postponed and pushed. A number of, you know, some other games got pushed around as well. But the Ravens in particular, when they had a Thanksgiving Day game against the Steelers, that was moved like, I think, three times before they settled it out on a Wednesday. The reason was is because there was an outbreak within the organization that wasn't quite contained. So playing football against the Steelers was putting the Steelers at risk. Now, if you contain the virus and you get people off and they get, you get them off to the side and everybody else is testing negative, even if you're shorthanded, that's not the NFL's problem. You have to play with what you have. That's why Denver had to play a game without a quarterback, because to the NFL, they said, look, you had an outbreak within your, you had a problem with your quarterbacks because one guy showed up to a meeting with other guys in attendance that he tested positive for COVID. The tests weren't coming back for the other quarterbacks, so they can't play. They have to be isolated, and the rest of the team was fine. And so guess what? You're without a quarterback, but that's not our problem. The game has to be played. So there's two sides to this. We're all dealing with COVID. We're all dealing with it in whatever way we're dealing with it. Some people have gotten it. Some people still haven't gotten it. Some people have gotten the vaccine. Some people are still waiting for the vaccine. But the reality of it is that COVID is sort of something we all share. How we deal with it is something we all share. But it is still a virus. It still makes you sick. And it's, and so in that way, it's still in the same kind of idea of, let's say, a stomach bug that goes around a team. Now, we don't do that in sports. We don't, if you're playing in an NBA finals or an NFL's, you know, championship game or an NHL Stanley Cup game and your team gets the stomach flu, that's your problem. That's too bad. I mean, we're not going to change the date of the game because three or four of your guys got sick. But this is different. This is, again, a global pandemic. This is a contagious virus that we're all and have been sharing together since February, you know, about February, March. So for the NFL to sort of treat this as if it's like, well, it's contagious enough that if there, this is a problem for the game, we'll postpone the game. But if you're shorthanded, well, it's like if all of you got food poisoning. Too bad. That's just the way it is. If Kevin Stefanski couldn't be on the sidelines because he had 105 degree temperature, well, he'd probably be dead, but you know what I'm saying, then that's too bad. But if there is a problem of the Steelers getting it, then we will postpone the game. So that creates a problem for the Browns because, again, they're going to be without their head coach for a playoff game. And I can understand why, if you're a Cleveland fan, or even if you're just outside observer looking at this game going, look, what's the big deal? Just postpone it a couple of days. We've done this before. Why don't we just make sure that we have the most competitive game we possibly can? But on the one hand, does the NFL break out of the rules that they set in place at the beginning of the season? If there's a threat to the other team, we postpone. If it's contained and isolated, you are left with who you are left with. And that is your problem. I mean, imagine if a quarterback, a star quarterback, you know, got in a fender bender and had a bruised shoulder. And the doctor's like, in a couple of days, it'll be okay. We would not, under any circumstances, say, well, let's postpone the game for the bruised shoulder. Like, we want to make sure the star quarterback can play in the game so we get the best possible game we can. Nope, we'd say, well, those are the breaks. He got an fender bender on a Thursday. He can't play Saturday or Sunday in the playoff game because he's hurt. But this does feel different than any of those scenarios, doesn't it? Doesn't, because again, it's kind of this COVID-19, again, is something that every household in America has dealt with, that everyone is sort of doing their part to sort of either not get it, or they've gotten it to prevent other people from getting it. We're all kind of in this together. So there's just like kind of this group understanding that, you know, hey, the Browns got the, you know, the Browns head coach got the virus and he can't coach. And, you know, my aunt had the virus. I had the virus. My husband had the virus. My wife had the virus. My kids had the virus. Like, there's all sort of ways to relate to this in the immediacy. And that's where you're going to start hearing people say, this game should be postponed a day or two just to see where, you know, if they can come back and the Browns can be a full force when they go up against the Steelers. And it's good for the league. It'll be good for the Browns. It'll be good for the game. But that's not where the NFL is going with this, because the NFL has said this overall. I mean, look, I'm not saying the Broncos would have made the playoffs, and it's unlikely they would have beaten the Saints anyway in that game. They didn't have a very good season, so there wasn't like they were on the cusp of making the playoffs. But that game against the Saints was hard to take. Even if you're not a Broncos fan, it was hard to take. And I'm sure if you're a Saints fan, it's not really the way you wanted to win, is it? I mean, a win's a win. You'll take it any way you get. But that was a 31-3 victory against a team that didn't have the most important player at its position. They didn't have a quarterback. They had to get a guy who once played quarterback in college, who was a wide receiver on the practice squad, to be a quarterback 24 hours before that game went down. Then again, the Broncos went 5-11, no big deal. But what if that had happened to the Dolphins? Like, what if that had happened to any other team that was on the outside looking at anybody, those, any of those NFC East teams that was fighting for the for a playoff spot? This one game where the NFL went, nah, too bad. No, we're not moving it to Tuesday. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. You're not. No, no. Find a quarterback. Find somebody that once did this at one point in their life to play. That's what the NFL did. So it's not that big of a surprise that they said to the Browns, find somebody else to call plays or be on the sidelines guiding the guys who do call plays. We don't care. It's not our problem. He got COVID. He can't coach. Nope. We're not moving the game. It's Sunday night. That's up to you guys to figure it out how it's going to work. We're not helping you here.
But don't, don't we want a Tuesday night game?
Listen, as a Steeler fan...
For 2020 nostalgia reasons.
Yeah, sure. But as a Steeler fan, will I take a win over a Browns no matter what kind of Browns team shows up? Yes, but as a fan of the league, I don't want these games tarnished by a COVID outbreak. If the NFL would do that to the Broncos during a regular season, they would do that to the New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
They would do that to Tampa Bay. They should do that to any team that's in the postseason. They should do it to Kansas City. If Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne go out for a beer and both get COVID, that's it. Figure out who your third string guy is. And if the third string guy was with them, whoops, guess what? Find a guy who once played quarterback. Has Travis Kelce ever thrown any passes?
Well, Tyreek Hill, I think, has a touchdown under his belt.
I do think he has, right? That's the consistency that you do want from the league. If they did it to the Broncos, they should do it to any of these teams in the playoffs.
I think early on when they were messing with the schedules because they had the luxury of doing so.
But they have the luxury to do so now.
Not really.
Yes, they do. They can move the Super Bowl a month. They've already got that in place. That is already a plan. That is not an emergency, break glass, oh my God, we have to do this. They have already built into the postseason the Super Bowl 1 month.
But if you were to move this game, and then you'd have to move a game.
You have to move
the
entire playoffs.
You'd have to move the entire playoffs at that point, right?
But we're not talking about moving it to next weekend. We're talking about moving it to a Monday or a Tuesday. We would talk about moving it just a few days. We're not moving it 1 week. That's not happening.
Then I say, give us a Tuesday nighter.
But if the AFC and NFC championship games are, if one of those games is affected by COVID, and you have to, because look, let's not beat around the bush here. If the Browns had an outbreak that could infect the Steelers, this game absolutely gets moved. 100% gets moved, because it can't play a game where the opposing team is at threat to get the virus. If there's an uncontained outbreak of coronavirus within the Browns organization or any team heading into this weekend, they absolutely will move that game. What makes this different is finding who has it, isolating them from the team and saying, that's it. If everybody else is good, everybody else is good. That's why there's two differences between what they did with Baltimore and what they did with Denver. What they did with Denver was, that was your quarterback group. They're not affected the other team. They're out, so find a quarterback. What happened with the Ravens was, oh my God, they've got it. Now the next day, these guys got it. Now the next day, these guys got it. And this guy wasn't isolated. And now these guys got it. And we can't play because, one, we don't know how many players have gotten it or are going to be a problem on Thanksgiving Day when they play the Steelers. So they had to move it to find a way to contain the virus within the organization. So there is a built-in contingency plan for the postseason for that reason. And the reason, and look, there is going to be no forfeits here. No one's forfeiting a game. The revenue from television is too, this is all they have. They don't have money. They don't have ticket sales. All they have is the broadcast revenue. And they're not going to tell NBC, I mean, seriously, they're not going to tell NBC that the Steelers win by forfeit. Like, it's not going to happen. NBC is like, well, great, because now we have to give away millions and millions and millions of dollars in ad revenue back. So thanks. No, the NFL is playing this game at some point, but whether or not it should be Sunday or at some point later on down the week is where the argument is going to come in. Now, look, I'm with the NFL on this. If you're going to be consistent, you've already told these teams exactly what the rules are, stick by it. Do the playoffs matter? Does it make a difference? Yeah, I guess, but not really. I don't want to see a small outbreak result in scrambling of games all over the place. You know, but a head coach, not, you know, with COVID, I kind of don't want it. I mean, that stinks for the Browns. 18 years not make the playoffs and your coach can't be on the sidelines for the game.
Well, it's such a Browns thing, too.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I hate to say it. I mean, because hopefully that narrative goes away. But it is kind of a Brownsy thing to have happen to them.
Very much so. Very much so. It's really too bad. I mean, it's really a shame. Unreal. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N as we continue. Coming up next, Heisman Trophy last night went to the wide receiver of the group. Was it the right choice? We'll go over why Trevor Lawrence came in second next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, a weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Congratulations, Devontae Smith of Alabama, winning the Heisman Trophy last night. It actually wasn't a surprise at all. He was the AP Offensive Player of the Year. He was kind of the favorite going in by the sports books. So it wasn't really that surprising. And to a lot of people, it's refreshing because it's been a quarterback award over the last, I don't know, decade and a half. I mean, you know, used to give it to some running backs. It used to be a big running back award. We talked about that yesterday. Now it's, you know, quarterback, and you know, rightfully so in terms of the most important position in the game. But Devontae Smith winning it for the first, a wide receiver winning it for the first time since Desmond Howard in 91. And remember, if you go back, if you were old enough to remember 91, Desmond Howard really won the award on a punt return. Remember the famous punt return he had where he did the pose in the end zone?
Yep.
Like, that's really kind of where he sealed it. But Devontae Smith had a fantastic season for an Alabama team that was just loaded with offensive talent. I mean, Mac Jones was the most efficient quarterback in the nation. Najee Harris was great, ran for a zillion touchdowns. And Devontae Smith had, probably a majority of the scores for Alabama this season.
And I guess that thought of, you know, like when you have two candidates, or usually you see it in movies. In Oscars, where two people from the same movie kind of steal votes from each other.
Right.
You know, people were saying the same thing was going to happen here.
Yep.
You know, exactly. You have too many people from Alabama, they're just going to kind of steal votes from each other, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence came in second. And a lot of people are pointing out, look, this seems to have been what people were wondering was going to happen to Trevor Lawrence. Was he going to get votes? Because, look, he had a good year, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have a typical Trevor Lawrence year, and he didn't play in the biggest game Clemson had during its regular season. And that matters. And he didn't have the numbers of Mac Jones. He didn't have the numbers of Kyle Trask. Was it going to be a career reward? And it seems to have been that for Trevor Lawrence, that people just were like, let's give him some votes. Let's put him on every ballot. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's been fantastic for the sport. And let's give him that award, even if this year wasn't like a normal Trevor Lawrence year. But this year wasn't really a normal year for anybody. I mean, I look at Kyle Trask, and that's who I would have voted for. I would have voted for Kyle Trask. And again, you are supposed to put your votes in before the bowl game. So his game against Oklahoma wouldn't have affected any of the ballots. But he had a fantastic game in the SEC championship game against Alabama. He was great against the Crimson Tide. He put Florida in position to win that game. Nobody has come close to beating Alabama this season. Nobody but Florida. That was a one-score game when it was all said and done. But the problem with Trask was he had a bad game against LSU, and that was going to seal it against a team that was unbeaten and dominating everybody and had three offensive talents like Alabama had, plus a guy that was going to probably get the career votes and had a good year anyway. But Trask had 43 touchdown passes this season, over 4,000 yards. Joe Burrow had 11, and he did that in 11 games. Joe Burrow in his first 11 games had 41 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards, and Trask had more of both in the 11 games he played. I would have voted for Trask because in the 11 games Trask played, he did it against all SEC teams. There was no cupcake games that were in the schedule to pad some numbers. He did it all against SEC opponents. And those numbers were really eye-popping. And I think that you take those numbers and the fact that in the SEC title game, he was great. He threw for 3 touchdowns and ran for a score against Alabama. He accounted for 474 yards in that game against the Crimson Tide. Think about that. He accounted for nearly 500 yards of offense against Alabama's defense, which is one of the best in the nation. But in the end, I think this award went to the right guy. DeVonta Smith had a wide receiver year like we haven't seen before. And I think it was time. And look, and I never like saying this because I think you went on merit and it doesn't matter. Like, I don't like it when we say, well, we should have a comedy win Best Picture, right? Or we should finally have Martin Scorsese win for The Departed, even if it's not his best film. I don't like it when we do that. I don't like it when we give awards out because it feels like it's earned or it feels like we need to trend differently. Everything should be analyzed that season. If you don't feel DeVonta Smith is the best player in college football, don't vote for him for the Heisman. Don't vote for him because you want to see somebody other than a quarterback win the award. That's not fair to the field. It's not fair for the guys that played their position as best they possibly could. So to go into the Heisman Award and say, I'm not voting for a quarterback. Give me anybody else. I'll take Najee Harris. I'll take a defensive guy. I'll take DeVonta Smith. But I'm not voting a quarterback number one because I'm tired of quarterbacks winning. That's not fair. You should not vote at all if you're gonna think like that. So the question then is, how many people did think like that? And if DeVonta Smith got this award because of that? I don't know, because the numbers for him this season were just amazing. And he really was the best player. And the Associated Press, who will dole their player award to anybody, gave it to him. And that's kind of where the trend goes. If the AP goes this way, you kind of can get a feeling that that's where it's heading in the same direction. But you could have gone with any one of those Alabama guys, any one of them. And you would have been fine. You would not have had a controversy if Mac Jones had won, Najee Harris had won, or even DeVonta Smith, who actually won. But here's a fun little Alabama statistic. All the years that Alabama has been good, all of those years, Bear Bryant seasons, right? Ken Stabler, Joe Namath, all those Alabama teams. Their first Heisman Trophy winner was in 2009 when Mark Ingram won. Then Derrick Henry won, and now DeVonta Smith. These are all coming under Nick Saban. No other coach in Alabama history had coached a Heisman Trophy winner, and Saban's got 3 of them. Like, that's one of those stats where you go, that's crazy. That can't be true, right? Like, you would think somebody in the 60s for Alabama won the Heisman. It's one of those stats that's quirky enough to make you look it up. Like, I'll tell you this. I remember when Derek Jeter was chasing 3,000 hits. And they said, Derek Jeter is going to become the first Yankee to have 3,000. I go, no way. That can't be true. And you look it up and you're like, wow, that is true. That's incredible. All those great players, all those great teams. And Derek Jeter is going to have 3,000 hits. Same thing here with the Heisman for Alabama. Now they got 3 of them. So good for DeVonta Smith. And I had no problems with it. I'll be honest with you, though. If Trevor Lawrence had won, I would have been a little, not irked. I wouldn't have been bothered. Trevor Lawrence is a fine player. But I would have felt like it was the career.
You would have questioned.
I would have said, "Nah, I don't know about this one."
Yeah, it's kind of like giving an award to someone for like you said, the career achievement rather than what you did this season.
Scorsese had better films than The Departed, but he won for The Departed because people were tired of him losing.
Yeah,
right.
Or when what was that? Return of the King won.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when Return of the King won.
It was mainly for it's for all three movies.
It's for all three. You did such a great job. We'll continue along. It's Wake Up Call, the Sports Map Radio Network.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us. It's Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. By the way, the national championship game got some COVID issues. Ohio State's got some problems.
Yep.
And I hope they don't make Ohio State play shorthanded against Alabama. They're going to need all the help they can get. Hope they can figure out a way to make sure.
It didn't take long for a certain someone to sound off about it, too.
Yeah, Nick Saban's daughter. Yeah, she was like, they want to use COVID so that Justin Fields can be healthier to play in the national title game.
Give him more time to heal.
Ryan Day has been relatively quiet about Justin Fields' status. And rightfully so, when you're a head coach, try to keep everything as close to the best as you can. But Nick Saban's daughter had no problem saying that. She later apologized, but the damage was already done.
You can't take back a tweet. Everyone
knows
that.
Don't take it back. Don't take it back. Yeah, just throw it out there. Stand by it. Stand by it. Don't come back with, I'm sorry. Look, when you're typing a tweet, I know we do angry tweets. People do angry tweets all the time, but look, you wanted to say what you said. Just say it.
Yeah. Was she worried that Lane Kiffin was going to be mad at her?
Yeah, exactly. Chill. Just do it. Just say what everybody's thinking, okay?
Still one of my favorite storylines in college football.
With Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin and the daughter.
I remember. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I heard this story,
push them all back.
I saw this report that the testing isn't universal. So, like, whatever goes on in the SEC in terms of testing is not the same protocol they use in the Big Ten. How could that be? How could they all not share, you know, come together and say, at least we can agree on this. Can we all agree on this? Like, why are we doing different? The SEC can do it any way they want. They don't need anybody's permission to run COVID testing. But shouldn't they all have come together and said, look, we all may disagree on how college football is to be played, but let's all agree on this.
But Alabama will have a good argument because, I mean, they couldn't wait for Nick Saban to come back.
That's right.
They just went ahead and trudged forward and was like, you know what? Hey, you know, it is what it is.
That's right. So that game will be in Miami. Look, Dan Wolkin, who comes on the show occasionally, and sometimes he's been writing some columns at USA Today, where he's sort of on this fence where he seems to like see college athletics and goes, like with COVID, rather than, wow, isn't it amazing? We actually got a season in. It may not be pretty. It may not have looked good. Maybe having a lot of cancellations and whatnot. But we got the games in, and we've got a national championship, and it's between two pretty good football teams. So let's all be pretty happy. He's more like, I don't even know if we should have played. But he kind of makes a good point about, look, the best way to have done this in a 1 week period, or, you know, or a little over a week, because they played Friday and then they're going to play again this coming Monday. So what, 10 days, was to just stick them in a bubble and play all of the games in one location. Like, take the four teams, stick them in a hotel, like in Miami. You could have just stuck them in a hotel, go just to and from practice, said, look, you want to participate in this? We're putting you in a bubble. But if we're going to make you go to Dallas and then back to campus and then to Miami, or New Orleans, back to campus, down to Miami, there's a likelihood there's going to be an outbreak, right? There's a likelihood that players are going to catch the virus. You keep moving them around a bit. If at the beginning, at the end of the season, if you had said, look, starting on this date, you guys come down here to Miami, quarantine, play, test, all of those things, we'll get these games in, everybody makes a little money, and we're out of here. That probably was the better way to do it. And I agree with them on that. I agree with them on that. If the game is affected. If it's not affected, then they did it right. So I'm going to backtrack on that. John Elway has announced that he is not going to be the general manager of the Denver Broncos. This is not surprising, because poor John Elway has taken a lot of arrows for his inability to find a quarterback.
Kind of a smart move.
It is a smart move. He's kind of done with this is the problem with beloved athletes taking front office roles. Okay. Saw Dan Marino do it for like 3 seconds, right? Where he's like, I can't do this. Is that sometimes it works, right? Sometimes you get an Ozzie Newsome who just fits like a glove. He just knows how to do it, does it really well, does it for a long period of time. And sometimes you get a Dan Marino situation where he went to work for the front office for the Dolphins and realized this ain't for me. John Elway was somewhere in the middle.
I'll give you a little bit of history on this. I know I think I've talked about this before. I was in Denver covering the Broncos at the time. Elway jumped in and took over the reins of the team. And in order to kind of understand how Elway got that position, you kind of have to remember where the Broncos were 2010-ish. Josh McDaniels was the head coach, and McDaniels and the team went to go play San Francisco in London. And there was an accusation that McDaniels, following what was going on with Bill Belichick and Spygate, had filmed a walkthrough practice of the 49ers. It wasn't as big as Spygate, but it was enough to sort of cause some anxiety in the league. And definitely the late Pat Bowlen at the time did not like that at all. At all. He did not like his team being dragged in the mud, dragged into those kind of controversies, getting kind of screamed at by his peers, kind of everyone pointing a finger at him as a cheater. He did not like that image. He was very proud of the Broncos, very proud of the fan base, and he didn't want to spoil it. So out went McDaniels. They closed out the season. They were terrible. And then they hired John Fox, but before they did that, they brought John Elway in. And they wanted John Elway to be an executive with the team and sort of run the team. And also, and this is the most important aspect of it, they wanted John Elway to be the face of the team because the team was in dire straits. It was a mess and it was embarrassing and they weren't playing good football. And there was a fan base that was very loyal. They sell out all the time, and they have a fan base that reaches across the Rockies. I mean, it goes into Idaho, it goes into Montana, it goes into the Dakotas, it goes down to New Mexico. It goes, you know, it's a big landmass. Maybe not population wise, but just covers a lot of area into Utah and places like that. So they wanted John Elway to be the face of the franchise because they were looking for, hey, it's Prince John, right? Or King John, if you really want to get into it. He's going to lead the team. And great, I trust John Elway. He's John Elway, for crying out loud. Two Super Bowl championships, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And he had to make a very tough decision. And I know it sounds crazy now, believe me. It was not crazy back in 2010, 2011. He had to say to the fan base, I know you're really excited about Tebow and the way we win games and the fact that we're 8-8 and going to the playoffs and we beat the Steelers, but he ain't the guy. He is not going to be the quarterback of this team. But he couldn't do it with anyone. Like, he couldn't just go get a veteran QB that was kind of bouncing around the league and, you know, just kind of, hey, I'm playing for my fifth team in 6 years. Like, he couldn't find that. He couldn't get that guy. The city was pretty excited about Tebow. There was a legitimate debate about whether Tebow could be a starter. Like, would he develop? And maybe Elway could develop him, and he could be even better. And look at this guy. He's a winner. And all he's doing is he's winning these games in these amazing fashions. Like, he can't hit a wide receiver who's standing right in front of him. But in the final 2 minutes, he can hit anybody he wants, and he's unbelievable. Like, you can't win in the NFL that way. And Elway had to find a quarterback. And he had to do it where there would be no controversy. He had to go out there and get a guy where no one would question the signing of that individual to replace Tim Tebow, and he did it with Peyton Manning. So Manning had the neck surgery. We didn't even know what kind of Manning they were going to get, right? I mean, who knows? Neck surgeries are a weird thing. But Elway convinced Manning to sign with Denver when Tennessee felt like they were going to land him because of his fondness for the state. His wife's from the state. They have a home in the state. He knows the division. He's a legend in the state. But Elway swept in and grabbed Manning, pulled him into the Rockies and said, I know what you want. And you want to win another Super Bowl at your age. And I was you back in the day. I was a guy that was looking for the latter part of my career to win Super Bowls. So I'm you. I know how to do this. And I'm going to build a team and we're going to build it right. And they did. They went to two Super Bowls. They won one. They learned their lesson from the first one, built a better defense, and then won that Super Bowl. So you can't take that away from Elway's reign and the front office of the Broncos. But here is where it turns, right? Even a Super Bowl championship in that city for that fan base wasn't enough for John Elway to sort of avoid the criticism of failing to find a quarterback. In fact, it's insane, but there were people saying, I don't know if John Elway even knows quarterbacks. Because if you look at his record, he may be able to play it, but it doesn't mean he can spot it. right? He knows how to do it. It just doesn't mean he can evaluate the talent. Because when you think about it, from Elway's run, from the time he got there, dealing with the Tebow excitement and bringing in Manning, all the way through to Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian and you know, Joe Flacco. I mean, I'm trying to think of some others that have come through. Kirk Cousins. Like, I mean, all these, this whole idea, was it Kirk Cousins? No, was it somebody else that they brought in? I apologize. All of these guys that came in to play the position, John Elway failed to land anybody that could successfully play that position for them. And the only thing he did was sign a guy that everyone was after anyway, even after the neck surgery. Peyton Manning was not a risk. Like Peyton Manning, you could say the injury would be like, okay, we'll see where he is. But signing him, every team that could sign him wanted to sign him. Tennessee, Bud Adams in Nashville said, Manning, you could have a job for life if you play for the Titans. A job for life. Anything you want to do afterwards. You could be in the organization for the rest of your life in some capacity if you sign here. But Elway won that battle. And that was the only thing he did from the quarterback perspective. That's the only thing. So going back to my original point. If you're a superstar athlete in any sport, it doesn't matter what that is. It could be basketball, hockey, whatever. You do run the risk of having your legacy somewhat notched down a few pegs if you go into the front office of the team that you helped build up into a contender when you played for them, if you don't deliver in the front office. There's nobody in Bronco land that will ever deny John Elway's greatness. None. That would be stupid. I mean, the guy won 2 Super Bowls. He led them to 5. He was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, depending on who you ask, depending on what stats you like. But the reality of it is, in the decade tenure that he had there, he did not get anybody else to play that position as well as they could have. He saw a Justin Herbert emerge. He saw other quarterbacks emerge. He saw Josh Allen emerge. He saw all these other quarterbacks, sort of Patrick Mahomes, sort of grow into the job, become stars, and he never lassoed one of them into the pen. He never did that. He never was able to look at the fan base and say, trust me, I know this position better than you, and I see this in that guy that is going to turn into a star. He tried to do it with Paxton Lynch. First round pick, that didn't work. Trevor Siemian, it did not work. All of the guys, even Joe Flacco, who's coming in, he tried desperately to say, you know what? We are finally okay at that position. And it never landed. It never landed. But the one thing he did good, the one thing he did right, was he was willing to come away from Super Bowl 48 and go, we need a defense. We are not winning with Manning. We are not winning with an offense that's putting up points. We have got to be able to stop teams. And that's why he built one of the best defenses you'll see in championship football. But pulling him away from the general manager position, smart move, because again, those arrows were coming. And if you're a guy like him and you're living on that great legacy of bringing home titles to that city, you do not want to keep going at this. Imagine if he had done 20 years of this. Imagine if 20 years down the road, Elway couldn't find the right quarterback. I mean, it just gets frustrating after a while. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2 N's. One tweet coming in that we're going to get to when we come back.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. Joel Bitonio, he's not going to play either for the Cleveland Browns. The offensive lineman has been there for an eternity. He's not going to play either. He went through 0-16 and 1-15 and now can't play in the playoffs due to COVID-19.
Yeah. Signed Joe Thomas back.
How terrible is that for the Browns? That is sad. It really is sad. Yeah. Unbelievable. You can't even enjoy it for like 10 seconds before this bad news about COVID-19 affecting your football team as they head to their first postseason since LeBron James was in high school. Oh my God. And here's the thing. If you're a Browns fan, this is where you get nervous because you're like, I don't know if we're ever going to get back. Like, right. Who knows? Right?
There's no guarantees.
Are we doomed for another 18 years after we lose in the first round again?
You know, I mean, first of all, you take a look at that division. That division's tough.
Yeah, it's going to get tougher.
Yeah, it's going to get harder. And then you look at the AFC East as a whole. It's like you got some young teams that are on the rise. And you got to
almost assume the Patriots will be back in some way.
Got to figure that they'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Land their guy. By the way, one correction. I mentioned all the Bronco quarterbacks, and I meant to say Case Keenum rather than Kirk Cousins. So Case Keenum was another, yeah, this guy is going to work out just fine for us. And it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's like Brock Osweiler,
Paxton Lynch. Is that jersey finally gone?
Huh?
Is that jersey for the Browns finally gone?
You know, the one that was in that advertising
I would think
agency?
So, right? I would think so.
I mean, because Baker's been there, what?
He's been there a while now. He's the guy.
2.5 years, 3 years?
Yeah.
So maybe they can finally retire it or just put it
put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Well, yeah, put it in the Hall of Fame, because that's always been fun to watch when they change starting quarterbacks. They just keep adding names to the huge list for the organization.
God, that's ridiculous, though. I mean, they could settle on anybody.
I know. It's so true. Michael on Twitter, Yankees never had a 300-game winner also. Yeah, because I mentioned that Jeter was the first one to win to get 3,000 hits.
3,000 hits, yeah.
Found that surprising because I was like, well, that can't be right. And I looked it up, and it was right. And the same thing with the 300-game winner for the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you go, that I have to look that up. And that's how I felt in 2009. The reason we brought that up, if you missed it earlier, is because in 2009, when I was working in radio and I was doing the Heisman Trophy show, and I was like, Mark Ingram was the first Alabama player to win the Heisman. I'm like, that's not true. And I looked it up, and it was true, because I was like, there's no way. Bear Bryant didn't coach a Heisman Trophy winner all those years in Tuscaloosa. And it's right, he did not. So that's one of those things people say, you go, nah, I got to look that up. And I had to look it up. It was Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.